One of the things that I wanted to look at this evening is and mention, I try to bring an update with our missionaries. And so far we have Brother Doug Rogers is with ICP, our Indigenous Church Planting. That's what ICP stands for. And so you won't be able to read that probably from the back, but he basically says, I want to share some great news. We just finished signing the paperwork for a quarter acre property that somebody gave us to plant a church in a village we have been praying to reach for 3 years. And so we will open a community outreach center to offer gospel focused sports, education, free medical treatment, and Bible studies, all while holding regular worship services. We want this place to be open 7 days a week to reach the community. Pray as we raise the funds to build this facility. And one of the gentlemen was asking me, I don't think I have my phone on me here, and it's Meldelia. Meldelia is the town, and I'm probably not saying that properly, but it's in Mexico. And so that was our update, and this was sent to me by a text, and I put it in our, I got to make sure I hit this thing right, put it in our presentation for tonight. I'll go back to my PowerPoints and make sure I'm careful what I hit here. Tonight, you and I, we're going to be back in Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to look at verses 16 through 21. And one of the reasons why I'm down here is because this screen weighs about 300 pounds, and it's hard to get up there and to look at it. And I want to make sure I can see and make sure my little thing is running right for us for this evening. So a little bit different tonight, a little more like a class setting. But well, let's read a few verses here in Galatians chapter 5, and notice with me, look at verse 16, and let's read down a few verses here. It says, this I say then, Paul is saying here, he said, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. And verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Verse 20, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. And verse 21, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such alike, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bow before you tonight, and we ask that, Father, you would meet with us tonight. We thank you for the day that you've made, and we're thankful for just an opportunity to come out in a free country to hear songs sing about you, and Father, a lesson that we can study and know that, Father, what you want us to do and how you want us to live for you to be a better Christian, to be a stronger Christian, and Father, faithful to you and to your service. Meet with us tonight. Be with us, be with our hearts, and allow the Holy Spirit to do his work to teach us, instruct us, not just to listen, but Father, to take in and then to learn and to use. And we ask you these things tonight. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So there's a lot going on here. This is another portion of scripture that I like. I like going to, and we use quite a bit. If I could get a little more volume on this, I don't know how well you can hear me. On my lapel, it says God did not create man to live in sin, and he didn't. All right. So he created us to abide in him through his indwelling Spirit. So the power of us operating as saved individuals. Now I'm in the context of somebody who's saved. The context is very important, because if you have a lost individual who might think they're saved, might be religious, but does not have the Holy Spirit or has never been regenerated, this is not going to work at all. It's going to be extremely frustrating. Matter of fact, probably a lot of this right here that we're going to look at tonight is not going to be believed. It's just going to be foolishness unto them. It's not going to make much sense. And so it'll go in one ear, might trouble the soul spirit a little bit, maybe agitate that spirit that is not of God, and then go right on through you. And so that's the lost person. That's the man that has not been regenerated. So Christ definitely created us for the Holy Spirit to indwell us and to live in us. And I want to share why as we get started, turn to the right there to Ephesians chapter 1. And we'll look at verse 13 is the one I want to read. I'm going to move just a little bit quicker now, but I'm in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. And our first point we're going to look at is the command to the believer. We'll look at the command to the believer. We're going to look at the conflict in the believer. And then we're going to look at the conquest for the believer. But let's build this here in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. It says, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And so this is what we're talking about. This is what he's going to explain. And we're going to do a good job to try to take it in. But what the Holy Spirit does. We cannot bear godly fruit of our own. The Bible speaks, if you look at John chapter 15, and here you say, how can you make that statement? Well, the Bible kind of makes that statement, not kind of. The Bible does make that statement in John chapter 15. Look at verses 1 through 4. I just moved to St. John. I'm moving a little quicker now tonight. St. John chapter 15, verses 1. He says this, and you'll remember it as you hear it. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth no fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word. That's one way you can be clean. That matter of fact, let me back up. That's the only way to be clean is through the word of God, which I have spoken unto you. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except you abide in me. So a person who you might have the Holy Spirit in you might be saved. Your context might be okay on salvation, but your relationship, you are definitely, or this Christian is not walking or allowing the Spirit to operate or set on the seat of controlling your life or their life. So your fruit that is produced is not going to be spiritual fruit. It's going to be a physical manifestation of what we're going to look at here in a bit. And he calls it the works of the flesh. And so you want to be mindful that that's why we say we want to yield to the Holy Spirit. You constantly want to yield to the Holy Spirit and to the Word of God. And so, and I'm not saying yield to a man. Religion will teach you, well, yield to this church, yield to this man, yield to this work. Yield to God, yield to the Holy Spirit, yield to His Word, and that'll keep you straight. I might be messing this up again. All right, let's get into this. All right, so we have John chapter 15. Why we're there in John, take a look at John chapter 14. If you're still there in John 15, take a look at John chapter 14, and I want to give you verse 26. Dealing on this subject, John chapter 14 and verse 26. I am going to move a little quicker tonight now, just on these verses. Just to kind of exercise yourself. But the Comforter, that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has a number of names. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Promise. You have the Comforter here, the Holy Ghost. He says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost? The Bible will teach you and explain to you generally 99.9, if not 100%, always from its context. That's why context is so important, especially if you're reading the English language. And he says, whom the Father will send in my name, whose name? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. We sell the Holy Spirit short in the work that he does. We think, well, they're just, yeah, they got saved, but they're living out there. Where's the Holy Spirit's work? You can resist him. Like I said, you can have a context of a person who has the Spirit of God indwelled in him. He's saved. They're saved. But they're not yielded to the Holy Spirit. So their lifestyle is going to be like when we're getting ready to look. It's going to be deal with a conflict. But let's get on with this. So the Comforter has come. The Comforter does indwell you if you're a saved child of God here tonight. That's a good thing to know. And these would be the verses you would want to have memorized or down or know where they're at, because they give you assurance of what God had promised every child of God, every person that has put their faith and trust in Christ. All right. So here we need to learn. Here's what we need to learn tonight. What it means to walk in the Spirit daily, not monthly, not yearly, not Sunday to Sunday or Wednesday night to Wednesday night, but daily. And so we kind of wean ourselves off of somebody kind of spoon feeding us, to where we're actually picking up the Word of God and we begin to read and say, man, that's good. Because when you read, God is speaking to you. That's People say, well, God speaks through me. If God isn't speaking to you through the word, it's not God speaking to you. I'm not saying God can't, but if you're not in the word of God, the first thing he's going to tell you through vision is get in my book. Get in church. Get your act right. He's not going to give you some crazy revelation and you're not lining up with what the Holy Spirit is supposed to be teaching. You see, it runs in order. It's never out of order. God is never the author of that out of order or confusion, as the Bible calls it. So here, let's see this. Number one, we're going to see the command to the believer. The command to the believer. So we see the command to walk. Let's go back to Galatians. I need to slip back over there. And look at Galatians. Now, I want to break this down. You see, how do you do this word study? How is this? Well, look at verse 16 and we'll break it down. So we're looking at subpoint, the command to walk. This is a command. You say, how do you know that that is a command? It doesn't say command. Well, I'll explain to you why and how everybody comes to the same point or conclusion or belief. And so it says, when a person is saved, the inner man is cleansed by the blood of Christ and he is indwelt by the Spirit. So watch this now. Verse 16, Galatians chapter 5. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So the word walk means to make one's way or progress, to make due use of opportunities, to regulate one's life, to conduct oneself. To walk in is used to refer to consistence. I just looked the word walk up, okay, in the context of biblical things. So this is what goes with. Now, here's the point. Now, watch what it says. This I say then, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill. Do you get the sense? Can you see the mood? This word is in the imperative. Imperative means it's going to give a command or an order. That's just basic, simple English grammar or language you're going to learn. You'll learn, I think, in the third grade. I asked some of the girls, what does imperative mean? Say it's command or to give an order. I said, right on. That's the definition. So this is in the imperative mood, giving a command. So I didn't think there's any commands in the New Testament. Right here's one. Yes, we are commanded to walk in the Spirit. And then you have, look at the word now in verse 16. He says, and ye shall not fulfill. Well, this word deals with the consequence of obedience, because he's giving you the contrast. Ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And, well, I can walk in the Spirit and I'm fulfilling the lust of the flesh. Liar, pants on fire. It doesn't happen. You're not in the Spirit and commit sin. It doesn't go, or lifestyle. Let me just say lifestyle of sin. All right. So that's something that you repetitively keep doing and you can't seem to get a victory on. Look, you're not yielding to the Spirit. Here's what I'm saying. The word fulfill means to bring to close, to finish, to end, to perform, execute, to complete, to bring to completion or an end. So you're fulfilling this. Ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh if you're walking in the Spirit. It's that simple. It's that simple. Think, wow, okay. So the word includes the negative. This is what I want to deal with, is not fulfill. So if we walk habitually in the power of the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Ah, the habitual part. The part that I'm totally given over to, the Spirit part. I think that's my problem. That's all of our problem, by the way, because we go in and out of the yielding to the Spirit to yielding to, I just don't think I want to do that. I'm scared. Or I think I can get away with it. I just don't think it's that big of a problem. I don't think it's a sin, or I don't think it's going to drag me away from my relationship with God. If you're having those kind of thoughts and the conversation's going that way, you're already in the flesh. The flesh is what's generating the excuses that you're creating to step away from what you know is holy. If you're questioning it, or you say, I'm not questioning it, you're already in the flesh mode. That's how quick it happens, the changeover. So that's why the word habitually in the power of the Spirit, not just a little bit. The yielding is quite a bit to it. Say, well, how can I do that? Just as well as you can sin, you can yield to the Spirit. Because the same will that you use to get saved is the same will you use to keep it. Galatians 2:20. Remember that when we hammered that verse. Yeah, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ which liveth in me. And the life which I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's God working in you. That's the Holy Spirit. But you have to die to self. You have to die to the flesh. And so this is part of the command that he gives us. So the word lust means greatly desire. You want to know what the word lust means? Greatly desire. Good fruit does not grow naturally. You don't naturally produce good fruit in your Christian life. Weeds grow naturally. Weeds grow naturally. The works of the flesh, weeds. You say, what are weeds? The works of the flesh. They grow naturally. You don't have to teach a child to lie. You don't have to teach a child to steal. You don't have to teach a child how to say something that maybe not might not be true. But know how to use words to make it sound like it's true, but it's really not. Deceptiveness. Deceit. We're good at it. Adults are good at it. We get mad when our children do it, but we it's there. It's in every one of us, no matter what age. All right. There's a quote. And let me say this. I want to get a hold of this. Other people don't create your spirit or your mood. They only reveal it. So you get somebody who says, I just can't understand this. And you got frustration or anger. We're going to look at anger. You're like, that is already in that person. It's just some type of situation brings it out, but it's already there. And so we'll see that we're in more control of our faculties than what we realize. When it gets to not sinning, yielding to the Spirit, well, so we want to get it gray. Like, when it's really not really, it's easy. It's like I'm yielding to the flesh or I'm yielding to the Spirit. And you say, now, is there a war? Yeah, there's a war. There's a war. We just like to ignore the war because it's easier just to kind of go our way instead of God's way. All right. So this is what he's teaching the believers, same believers that were having trouble with their doctrine. Now, all of a sudden, you see him move from his doctrine to how they should walk in their daily lives. Why? Well, remember our last lesson? We looked at trying the spirits. How do we know if this thing's of God or not? That's what was getting them in trouble. They didn't have discernment. And so you need discernment, godly discernment, knowing both good and evil to discern that. All right. And so we see this here. Now watch this. The second point, and I need to move my little clicker here, turn it all on and go to my second point here. That's the actually first point. Let's move to the second point. The conflict within the believer. Look at verses 17 and 21. So here's the conflict. Now watch. Let's look at this conflict within the believer. There is a conflict inside. You say, I don't have any conflict. I'm comfortable. Then you're in either one of two states. You're in a lost state thinking you're saved, or you're in a backslidden state and you've grieved or quenched the Holy Spirit and you're comfortable. Or third one, you're totally over yielded to the Holy Spirit and you have peace with God, peace with his word, and peace with what's going on in your life. And that's a comfortable state. We all should be there tonight if you're saved. You say, well, that's hard. I can't obtain. It's not obtaining. It's that Galatians 2:20 thing. Use his faith. Let him live his life through your life daily. You say, can I still go to work? Oh, most definitely. Can I still be married and not? Most definitely. Can I still have these relationships? You're still going to have that. You're not in a perfect world. He's just telling you the best way to maintain your Christian testimony to where you're still effective for God. He ain't talking about perfection, sinless perfection. That ain't ever going to happen. That ain't going to happen on this side of eternity. And so here we're talking about now, secondly, the conflict within the believer. Verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit. So he's going to give us a lesson on the between our flesh, our body, our mind, our conscience, our heart, and then our spirit, the part that God has quickened us. And that's the part we want to try to run our lives, if you please. So here he says, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit. Remember what we said about lust? A greatly desire. So the flesh looks at what God gives the spirit and the freedom and the salvation and everything. And so it thinks it should have the same thing. And it just needs to be crucified. But watch, he says, and the spirit against the flesh. So the spirit says, look, you allow the flesh to do this, this, and that. How come you don't let the Spirit have control? What? So they're fighting between themselves. They're lusting against each other. And these are contrary the one to the other. That's why when somebody, some Christian says, well, amen, bless God, I'm totally with God, and I hadn't seen him in a month of Sundays. They're not in ministry. They're not packing. I'm like, everything's totally wrong about this. They're saying one thing, but this here, this Bible, this book, this verse here, it says they are contrary one to another so that they cannot do the things that you would. You can say you can do both, be a saved child of God, right with God, and then walk in the flesh. It isn't going to happen. You're either on one or the other. All right. So this is what the Bible is teaching us here. They're not the same. They're not going to run dually. All right. So verse 18, but if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Let me say this about the flesh. Number one, the flesh battles the Spirit, according to verses 17 and 18. Let me say this. These two verses make it obvious that walking in the Spirit is not simply a matter of passive surrender. It's not a passive surrender that we give to the Spirit. The Spirit-led life is a life of conflict because it is in constant combat with the old ways of the flesh that continue to tempt and seduce. It seduces you and I, the believer. When we preach Galatians 2:20, when we teach this stuff, we make it sound like it's just this, you know, it's not a problem. There's always a conflict. There's going to be a conflict there. And the stronger your flesh is and the weaker your spirit is, the greater the contrast, the greater the conflict. So I always think I follow a gentleman on YouTube, and I won't mention it for the sake of giving somebody a plug. But he's a farmer, and he rebuilds tractors, farm all tractors. I know very little about tractors and farm all, but he does a very good job at it. He knows a lot about everything, the bolts, the nuts, the washers, the tolerances, where to get the parts, what to do, how not to do it. And so he has these tractors. I didn't know they had them back in the 50s that they would start on gasoline and then they would switch them over to diesel. And they would thing would run on diesel after that. I thought, wow, I had two tanks. And I thought, that's pretty cool. It's kind of like here. We start our life, we run it on the flesh, and then we want to switch it over to the Spirit. And you're trying to turn that knob, turn it, and the smokes are pouring out of it, and it won't run right. You're like, what is going on? What is going on is we allow the flesh to take too much control of our life, and then when we try to switch it to the spiritual mode, it's hard. It's like, I can't do this. This is frustrating because we're operating more out of the flesh than the Spirit. It's firing more than the Spirit's firing. And our flesh likes to fire. And so the Spirit does too. But a lot of times we're not running in that mode. Romans has something to say about this. And we always use the book of Romans because it parallels these arguments. This was a consistent thing that needed to be taught in these churches. Romans chapter 7 and verse 18. It says this, for I know that in me. Now, Romans 7 verse 18. I move a little quicker. For I know that in me that is in my flesh, he's speaking of, dwelleth no good thing. Well, I mean, I can still generate some good out of my flesh. I can get up and perform something and do a great job. And the flesh, all that is not of God. Right here. This is a verse I would use and commit to memory if I struggled in this area of my life, Christian life. Dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me. So there's a part of you, your saved part, that it wants to do, right? But how to perform that which is good, I find not. And then he says in verse 19, for the good that I would, I do not. The things that I should be doing that are right, I don't do. But the evil which I would not, the evil that I shouldn't be doing, he says, that I do. And so this is, you say, oh, man, that sounds confusing. It is if you're not paying attention. If you're paying attention, you're saying, ah. So there's a war going on. There's the flesh. There's the spirit. Which one is stronger? Whichever one you feed. Whichever one you. Yeah, I would starve the flesh to death. As you can see, I'm not very good at it. But let's move on. Point number three. All right. So let's break this down. So we have the flesh battles the spirit, 17 and 18. We looked at Romans. The flesh brings death. Now, this is very important to catch. Look at verses 19 and 21. The flesh brings death. This is we all battle with the flesh. We're not getting younger. We're not getting healthier. We're not getting whatever. We're definitely not getting wiser or what's the other? Wealthier. That's the one I wanted. Verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. He goes down to verse 21, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such alike, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you, I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You're not going to be, not have a part in the kingdom of God. You say, what is that? That's the spiritual kingdom. You're out. You're on. You're like Nicodemus was Sunday in John chapter 3. He's looking from the outside in. And he says, you can't even see this kingdom. You must be born again. This is speaking of somebody who is not born again. I assure you, especially with this type of lifestyle. So let's get into this. So the flesh brings death. There are three basic groups that these sins are put in. I don't know if you caught it, but the first group is through sexual immorality. Let's look at it. Verse 19. So he says, of the flesh, these are works. You say, what are these? The works of the flesh. Anybody's capable of them, even saved people, are manifest. That means made known. Made known. You can see this. You say, well, nobody knows. Yeah, you can. Just look how they're living their lives. The murderer who's been caught and convicted, he's easy to see, or she's easy to see. The same with the rapist or anybody else that have been caught, convicted, and charged. That's easy to see. But there's people who live out their lives. Manifest means it's actually being seen. There are sins that are hidden that we think nobody sees. God sees. He keeps a record of those as well. But these are manifest. These are physical. You're living a lifestyle habitually. And you don't care about anybody seeing it. Watch. Here's the first group. And they're sexual immorality. It says adultery. You can look that word up. It's not just what you think it is. It means a whole lot of other stuff. Fornication. That's another word. Promiscuous sexual thoughts and acts outside of marriage. That list is as long as my arm. You can look it up. All right. Uncleanness, lasciviousness, uncleanness, moral impurity, lewdness. You can look each one of those words up. Lewdness or moral impurity. And it'll give any dictionary will give you a good definition. All right. And then we see, secondly, we have through religious idolatry. This is the second group. So you have your immoral, sexual, immoral sins. Now you have your religious idolatry sins. And he says, idolatry, witchcraft. He said, what is in that? Idolatry? Idolatry, according to the scriptures, can be set up across the platform in your heart, in your emotions, in your desires, in your life physically, manifested. Here he's in the context of manifest. It might be something that you have or possess or that controls you. It's simple. Whatever's at the top of your priority list. Hopefully it's God and the things of God. But if it's a job, if it's a career, if it's an entertainment, if it's a talent, if it's a gift, and it's above God, it's idolatry. Anything above God is idolatry and the things of God. So pretty simple. It's not, you don't have to complicate it. It's pretty, breaks down pretty easy. So we have the second one. Here's the third one. Now, the third one deals with human relation between interacting, encoding and decoding. So watch this. He says here in verse 20, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murderings, drunkenness, revelings, and such alike of that which I tell you before, as I've told you, or as I have also told you in times past. So these deal with a number of things. I look some of the ones up and give some definitions to some of them. Hatred, we all know what hatred is. It's just a physical outburst of anger. Everybody here probably have seen it. Hopefully, everybody here has probably took part in one or two. Have a little physical outburst. It's a sin. It's not of God. It's of the devil. It'll be an evil spirit, not indwelling you, but will oppress you. Same. That's why when attitudes in children, attitudes in adults, it's all very important, because that's not of God. That doesn't come from God. By the way, and everybody's looking at me kind of like, it's not. Hatred is not, all right? Hatred for sin, hatred for Satan, hatred for the world in the context of what it can do to a person's life, all that, that's healthy. But hatred towards an individual, towards a way, you've got problems. Okay, so towards human relationship, hatred, variance. What is variance? Quarrelsomeness. Somebody who's just contrary or quarrelsome. And you'll have them, and it's like, man, every time I get around, they always got something they want to argue back and forth. Quarrelsome. All right, wrath. Outburst of anger. That's what wrath is. Strife. Strife can mean sedition. Having a spirit to stand apart to create division. That's what strife means. Seditions. All right, so well, I just think it's just healthy just to stand apart from everybody else. No, that is an evil spirit, and it's contrary to truth, being truthful. If you're standing for truth, and you can stand for truth, that's fine. You say, well, I just like being the devil's advocate. That's of the devil. that is not a spirit of God. So I know we don't have this, but you can get it in good Baptist business meetings. And I've heard it before in my own ears, not necessarily here, other places. Well, I'm the voice of the contradiction. I'm the contradiction. And that's not of God. That is not of God. So when I see that, I automatically know with what I'm dealing with, another spirit. Like, okay. So let's look at these a little bit closer here. So we got wrath, seditions, heresy, strife. Heresies, beliefs held or taught, contrary to Bible or biblical teaching. So these would be the red line issues that you have in the church today that is taught, Bible believing. You hold a belief that is not taught, that you can't prove from the scriptures, you want to be careful with it. Don't be trying to spout it off. I believe that. You got Bible on it. One of the questions that you'll get from here, from the pulpit, chapter and verse. You want Bible to back this stuff up. All right. So that's heresies. So I didn't know that. Heresy. You want to let it go and you want to cling to what is truthful and what's provable. All right. So murders. Everybody could pretty much know what a murderer is. It's cold blooded. That doesn't mean taking an animal's life. Doesn't mean cold blooded means taking a human's life for no reason. So, that's a question that you get all across the board. We get definitely in religion. It's, well, murder means thou shalt not kill. That's shall do no murder. That's exactly what that Ten Commandment is speaking of. Don't take somebody's life cold-bloodedly for no reason. You got a self-defense application, totally another matter, total another context, and a total another law. All right? So murders. Drunkenness. Everybody pretty much knows what that is. The Bible's consistent from Genesis to Revelations. It might go together. I don't know. But Genesis to Revelations, it's consistent. It is not for drunkenness at all. Revelings. What is revelings? Carousing in drunkenness and lewdness. So, yeah, okay, you're around somebody who drinks and then drunkenness. But revelings is you're taking part in that and there's other acts going on involved with it. Anytime you get into alcohol and drunkenness, that doesn't get better. You don't say, let's get more Bible. You always want to go farther to the left in everything. All right. You can look some words up in your definition or your dictionary to get a better clue on that for the sake of our audience here. All right. Let's get into our third point. Now, I do have some points on verse 21 real quick. Got 5 minutes. According to verse 21, before we get into our last point, the people who make a habitual practice, I need to say this, and a habitual practice of these sins will not inherit the kingdom of God because they are not saved. This is what he's teaching here. And he wants you in us, these people here and in the Galatia and us tonight to know that there is a difference between saved and lost. And these will be the lines where you will be able to tell by the fruit that they bear forth. They manifest. That's the words the Bible uses. All right. Let's look at point number three, and I'll get it up here. Point number three is the conquest for the believer. Look at verse 18 again, and we'll see this. We'll see the yield, verse 18. But if ye, Galatians chapter 5, verse 18, but if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. So yield to the Spirit is very important if you want a good conquest in your Christian life. Paul contrasts the Spirit and the law in this verse. He emphasizes that the Spirit produces fruit, but the law cannot produce righteousness. You say, how do you know that? Romans chapter 8 and verse 12. Romans chapter 8 and verse 12. I think I had a question about one of these verses the other evening. I'll go back to it. I wasn't able to quote it, and I'm not very good at that. But verse 12, watch what he says here. Romans 8, verse 12, if you're writing. Therefore, brethren, not just anybody, he's talking to saved people, we are debtors not to the flesh. So I think, Miss, somebody asked me about debtor, being a debtor. Are we really a debtor? We're a debtor to righteousness, to God. And he says this, we're not a debtor, not to the flesh. So don't think that you owe your flesh or the lifestyle that you were saved out of anything. You don't. You're dead. Not a debtor, but you're dead to it. But our debt is given to Christ to live after the flesh. Now watch this, verse 13. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. Ye shall die, but if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. All right, ye shall live. So here he contrasts it here. Don't feed the flesh is what he's saying. Romans 13, while we're in Romans, let's grab this one. Romans 13, Romans chapter 13, verse 14. And he gives us a command here, This is another command. He says in Romans chapter 13, verse 14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, I have to do that? Yes. Ephesians chapter 6. He goes down through that whole list of armament. And he said, well, this is my salvation. This is not your salvation. This has nothing to do with your salvation other than the fact that you have the ability to do it in the power of the Spirit. All right, so this is self-imposing. This is dealing with your relationship and being effective for Christ. All right, that's why in Galatians 5, he's dealing with the fruits of the flesh, fruits of the Spirit. All right, so watch. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. All right, so we see don't feed the flesh. Matthew chapter 6, verse 13 is another verse you can write down. Let me say this, the most effective way for a Christian to oppose the desires and deeds of the flesh is to starve them to death. Don't feed them. To make no provision for the flesh in regards to its lust and its desires. All right. So let me say lastly, walking in the Spirit is an essential part of the Christian life. In fact, the presence of the Holy Spirit is one of the most valuable assets that a Christian has besides the Word of God. The Word of God is the foundation platform you need. We must allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and in doing right and convict us when we're doing wrong. That's why we have invitation time. You can have that invitation time riding home tonight. You can have it here in a few minutes. Brother Jeff and Miss Leah is going to get up. They'll have a song. We'll have an invitation. That invitation time is for you to respond quickly to the Holy Spirit. And he's putting his finger on areas of your life that need to be corrected. You can do it right where you're standing. You don't have to make a show of anything. Some people, some churches, well, you can come down to the altar and pray here. You can do that. But it doesn't matter where. It's that you get it right and walk away from it. That's the most important part. Don't get hung up where and when, other than we need to extend that to people. And that's what it's for. It's not to put you on the spot. You only move when God tells you to move. All right. So that's what that's about. But we need to be willing to let the Holy Spirit convict us so we can adjust ourselves. Let's all stand tonight. Hopefully that's been a blessing. Brother Jeff, let's see you come ahead and get us a song. And we'll sing a couple of verses of a hymn tonight. Walking in the Spirit, that's what it's called. Walking in the Spirit.
Number 10.
Let's sing it.
Jesus, keep me near the cross. There. precious fountain, free.